Morning, everyone. My name's Greg. I'm one of the pastors here and really glad to be with you here this morning. If you came here this morning or you're online with us this morning and a question in your life has been, how do I hear from God? Or you've been longing for a word from God or some new direction in your life as a result of God speaking into your life and inviting you into what he described when he was walking on this earth in the person of Jesus into the abundant life. I think you picked a great Sunday to join us and to be a part of this worship service as we talk about what does it look like to hear from God and then to move in action. Let's pray together. Father, we recognize that this morning as we think about these things that I just mentioned, it is you who have a desire to be in relationship with us. It is you that made that super clear when you came in the person of Jesus into this world and you walked on this earth, you moved into the neighborhood, as some have described, into proximity with us. You ate with and talked with and laughed with and did life with, and you made a promise that you would not leave or forsake us. You'd always be near. And so today, for those of us yearning more so than maybe ever before, or those of us that are thinking about it right now, we want to hear from you. We didn't come here today. We didn't join online here today to hear from a person. We want your Spirit to speak, and so now, Holy Spirit, through me, to those that you love, speak, and we will listen. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, before we get going here this morning, I want to say thank you to so many of you, and the cards that Kathy and I received in the loss of Kathy's father. We weren't here last weekend because we were out of town at Kathy's father's funeral. And she just lost her mother in June. And the number of cards that we received and the calls that we received and the texts that we received and the emails and the number of prayers that went up from people that are a part of this church that we felt and experienced the love that came our direction, I was a bit overwhelmed again. Every time that happens to myself or some people in this church, we recognize what a gift it is to belong to each other. And so I'm not taking that for granted today. And I just want to say thank you so much for the way that you expressed love and care for Kathy and I, especially given June was the passing of her mother. And then just a handful of months later, her father passed away. And for those of us in this room that have been there before, where you've lost both parents, that's a bit unsettling. And I remember standing next to my older brother when my father passed away. My mom had passed away years before, but when my father passed away, we just stood there a bit numb, looking at each other. And I don't remember the exact words, but it was, I guess it's on us. It's on us now. We're next. And not really even knowing what that meant until months and even years later to gain a perspective of that. And I think about the season that we've been in a little bit like that, the season that we went through and we're actually still in, that it has been described by some as a great intervention, that God has been intervening. He's been jumping into our lives in a way to disrupt our lives in such a way that he would say the pace in which you were living, the way that you were going as a nation and as a people, it just wasn't healthy and it's not sustainable. And so God intervened to invite us in to something else. And others have called it the great disruption, just a great disruption that we've been through in 2020 and we're still experiencing right now. And whether you call it a disruption or an intervention, either way, it's been so massive, I'm convinced it is going to take us a distance from here to actually know the full impact of what's happening. We may need 2022 or 2023, a distance of a couple years to look back and to really determine what happened and what did that mean for me personally. Here's the reality. A lot of us, myself included, would like somehow to get there, to look back so that we can learn that lesson right now and know the full impact of it. It would really help us as we move forward. But the reality is, we have January 17, 2021 right here. Nobody else is having this experience, whether online or in person, than us. We are the only ones in the history of this world experiencing this moment together right here. We have here. We don't have 2023. You are here, which is the name of the series that we've been in. You are here. And the thought behind this thing is that if we actually want to move somewhere, if we want to go somewhere, if we want something desperately, maybe you've been praying for it or wanting it in your life, something, if we want to move from here to there, you actually have to know where here is. You have to know where you are in order to get to where you are going. A thought might be this, that you want to travel to Columbus, Ohio. And if you do, I have no idea why you'd want to do that. But say you want to travel to Columbus, Ohio. If you want to get there from the west side of the state, you're going to take a certain set of roads to travel down there. If you want to get there from the east side of the state, you're going to have to travel some different roads. If you want to come from the south toward Columbus, you're going to have to take a whole different set of roads. You have to know where you are to determine where you are going. It's just that simple. Well, today, I want to jump back into this series with you that I think is one of the more important series. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, over these 4 weeks, we're tackling this stuff. We're going after it. And today we're going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 22. If you want to follow along, whether online, you can do that through picking up your Bible or pulling it on a tablet in person. We'll also have the words on screen, and I'm going to be reading them. But before we do that, I want to do a bit of review for you. So last week, in the first week, we've been talking about this thing called Kairos. And we call this the Kairos circle, or a learning circle, or we could say it this way, a circle of hearing and doing, hearing from God and doing what God says. And that word Kairos is actually one of two words that describe time, two words that are used in the Greek, and the first word is Chronos. That word is the word that we use for chronology. Perhaps you remember Jeremy and Lori talking about this. Chronology, meaning I was 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, 50. And so there's just these moments in life where we're clicking through. I was in third grade, fourth grade, and we put on a timeline. This is my teacher, and this is where I was, and here's where I went on vacation. Then there's this other word called Kairos. This is a different word. Also interpreted time, but it's the kind of time that's different. And I think all of us have experienced this in life, where we've had those moments that just are different, like time is different. This sort of time is actually what we might describe as an intervention of God, a break-in of God, a God bump. You're running through life. You're going down the road of life, and all of a sudden, boom, the wheels almost come off. Like, God is intervening in your life, catching your attention. Maybe it's a beautiful moment that you get overwhelmed and you lose track of what we might call chronos time because you're lost in kairos moment time with God. There was a moment where Jesus spoke about that. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it's recorded, and Jesus said, the time, the kairos, the intervention of God, the breaking in of God has come, Jesus said, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, that word repent actually refers to a directional change. That I was heading this direction in my life, and God broke in. God invited me in a new direction, and I turn and align myself with what God is inviting me into, this abundant life that He's calling me into. I want to step into that. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It could be that you're living completely wrong. It could also be that you're heading a direction that God said, here's a better direction for your life. So it's a turn, an alignment with God. Repent and then believe. To believe is to step out, to trust, to actually act on it, that I'm going to take a step by step toward the one who leads me. I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. So in the first week, Jeremy launched us with talking about this thing called observe. And in that X marks the spot, there's an inbreaking of God. And we have this moment where we sense this is a different moment. This isn't just time clicking along. I sense this move of God in my life. And this observation leads us to a place where we can begin to ask the question, what is God saying to me? And in this moment, Jeremy asked us to actually be intentional about it, to put on our calendars, you pulled out your phone and just said, hey, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to put into my schedule in the morning. I'm going to pray for eyes to see where God is moving. At the end of the day, I'm going to put into my calendar a time to think back on the day. How did God speak to me during this day? So this entire time, in fact, I think it's a rhythm, not just for a few weeks during this series. It's a great rhythm for your life to keep your eyes wide open to what God is doing. The next week, just last week, Lori talked about reflect and discuss. That we would not just try to hear from God in this way, that we might say, what is God doing? But I'm going to reflect on it and think about it. Maybe even sit down and write about it and journal about it. And then I'm going to go find some trusted friends and have conversation with them about it. Like, here's what I'm sensing. What do you see in me? Or what do you see in what I'm talking about? All of this to answer a really big question. One of the biggest questions I ever hear from people, and it's this: how do I hear to the voice of God? How do I listen to the voice of God? How do I hear from God? That's a big question, isn't it? Because some people would say, well, the only people that can really hear the voice of God, like monks, man, they crawl up on the mountain and they just stay there. It's what they do. Or it's a prophet. And I don't know who's a prophet today. Or maybe a few pastors or some people that are really, 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 really into prayer. They're the ones that hear from God. I believe that what we're doing has the ability to help every single one of us that is yearning for a deeper relationship with God, that is yearning for a place like, I just want an authentic, real relationship with God. I would love to hear from God. It has the ability to actually help us get there, to answer the question, what is God saying? And then to know, that's not enough. That's part of it. And it's a really big part of it. It's on the right side of the circle part of it. It's all about just saying, I want to hear from God, but then to step in and to think about Jesus' brother James and the words that he said when he said these words. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just be somebody that goes, oh, like I'm clipping down through life and I hit this God bump and I observed it and I reflected on it. And I talked about it and then I did nothing about it. Don't do that, because you're missing the joy of actually stepping out in belief and doing something about what God's inviting you into and experiencing a journey. I know this in my life. I've never once done what God has asked me to do and invited me into and regretted it. Never. But I can tell you too many times where I've chosen not to step in that, and I've regretted it every single time. To step into the adventure of being a true disciple of Jesus, one who hears the voice of their shepherd. My sheep know my voice, and they do what I say. Now, how many of us, and this will be a bit of a stretch for some of us that are my age and older, how many of us remember like when we were eight years old, right? Like when you were in third grade. Way to go, Marilyn. I love it. I love it. So, yes, we remember this. And I have some memories of being in third grade, and I have memories of what that was like. Some But imagine this. For those of you that are parents of a child that's 8 years old or close to that age, there is a king in the history of Israel that was anointed king when he was 8 years old. Terrifying. Unlimited power in an eight-year-old. Eight-year-old Josiah. And this morning, I want to read about him because this is a guy that experienced all of what I just said and stepped into it. And his story will give us handles for what this thing looks like. So chapter 22 of the book of 2 Kings, and it reads this way. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adadiah. She was from Bozkath. I'm reading this really slow when I hit these words. Not because it'll help me say them right, but you'll know I said them wrong. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work of the temple. And have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dress stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. Just pause there a second. I found the book of the Lord, or the law in the temple of the Lord. What he's saying is, I found the first five books of the Bible. I found the Torah. I found what's been attributed to Moses giving to the Israelites. I found Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I found these books, this book of the law, and I read it. Almost like, what were you doing before? Why weren't you reading this before? It had been collecting dust. I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes, a sign of contrition, a sign of grief, a sign of deep repentance. He gave these orders to Hilkiah, the priest, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Isaiah, the king's attendants. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah what is written in the book, this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, Isaiah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harass, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem and in the new quarter. She said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man, king Josiah, tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they will become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. That's a story, isn't it? And I don't know about you, I find when I read stories with that many difficult names in it, and I know those weren't difficult names for them, they're difficult because they're different for us, but I get lost in those names, and it can take away from the context of the story for me to just kind of read through, especially when I'm trying to do it out loud. But did you catch two of the names? There was this woman named Huldah, really important in the story. And there was another one, a man named Shaphan. I don't know if you actually caught what those two were up to, but Shaphan was the one that took the book, and he went and he found the king, and in the presence of the king, he began to read some of it. How much of it? Don't know. A lot of it? Maybe. The Ten Commandments? Probably. He probably found that part. Why would we say that? Because what the king responded to had to do with the idols and the graven images and then the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses, the law that was given to him on the mountain. The Lord declared, I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. Do not make for yourself any graven image. Don't make any idol. Don't form anything or bow down and worship to these things, but to me alone. And King Josiah in that moment thought about the context he was in, thought about what was left him when he was 8 years old and what he had carried out for this many years, thought about the ways of the nation, and he ripped his clothes because he knew these words that he just heard were so far from the way that they were living that something had to be done about it. And what he did almost immediately was to experience what we would call that Kairos moment. That moment where he had like this God bump that Shaphan's reading this word and he's like, time out. Oh man, we have missed the boat on this thing. And then he went into that place where he began to ask the questions. What does this mean? Where do we go? In fact, he sent his advisors with these words right here, Shaphan and the others, to go with these words. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. We've ignored it for this long. And this is where, right on the heels of this, Huldah breaks in. She reads the book, this prophet of God, and she speaks back these words. The Lord says, I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made. So let's go back to this learning circle. Go back to this thing. This moment, this way of hearing God and our steps toward actually living out what God would ask us to do. And put this story, lay it over top of it, because what we have going on is King Josiah is just kind of clipping through life. And some people discover the book of the law in the temple. They bring it out to him. And in the bringing out of it to him, Shaphan opens it up and begins to read some of it. He goes, oh man, the king needs to hear this part. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down. You shall not have any graven images. And we've got them all over the place. And he reads it to the king. And X marks the spot you are right here, King Josiah. And the first thing he does is he observes, this isn't just some normal moment. This isn't just clipping through life kind of moment. This is not just chronology, one click after another. This is a kairos, God breaking in moment. And he rips his clothes and begins to reflect, like, what do we do next? And his next move is to say to Shaphan and some others, go find the prophet and bring her in on this and talk about it. All of this to say, I'm trying to reorient our way of living, not just me, but our whole nation. God's inviting us into a different way. We've been going this direction. It's time to move that direction. The word that Huldah brought to the king through Shaphan led him to the next level, to plan and to account. Led him to a place where he said, it's not enough just to hear the words and merely be a listener of the word. No, no. We need to do it. What good is it if I just listen to the word of God and do nothing about it? I have to step into it and actually do something about it for some good to actually come to my life. Now, we're not going to read an entire another chapter of scripture, but chapter 23, if you want to read today to catch up on the rest of the story, I'll give the snapshot of it, the overview of it, because what we see is that Josiah goes into action mode. He doesn't just leave it on this side. Big question, what is God saying to me? He's got it. He's crystal clear on what God is saying. Do not worship these gods. Don't make them. Don't have them in your presence. Don't bow down to them. And over here, the big question being, on the other side of that circle, the big question being, what am I going to do in response? Well, he enacted a plan. His first move was brilliant. He gathered up the elders, the leaders of the church, of the people, Israel. He gathered them together, and they recommitted themselves to God. They re-established the covenant with God. You have made a promise that you are going to be our God and that everything that comes with who you are would be for us. And we have blown it. But we are re-establishing now that according to your word, according to your directive, according to your call on our lives, we are going to be your people. And together they declared that. Then he had a plan. What's the plan? The next move. We need to clean the temple out. This is the house of the Lord. Every single idol for Baal or Asherah or any other gods that we have in there, rid ourselves and pull them out of there and destroy those graven images. He had a plan. We need to take every single priest that was dedicated to worshiping those and rid the temple of them as well. Get them out of there. Then he had a plan that went beyond that. It's not just good enough to clean up the house. We need to clean up the nation. Let's go out through the entire nation, into the countryside, into every nook and cranny of our nation, and tear down every single Asherah pole that people are worshiping, every Baal idol that they're worshiping. Let's rid ourselves of all of this in this region. And then, let's not stop there just by cleaning the house. Something else will show up if we just clean it. We have to fill it with what? The next plan is to worship as we have recommissioned, rededicated ourselves to worshiping God and honoring Him with everything that we are. That's our next move. That we will ask everybody, we'll invite everybody into a higher praise of God. In fact, we're going to reestablish the worship of God and remembering the Passover when He delivered us from the hand of the Egyptians. And He was faithful to us. And when He graciously passed over and brought no calamity to our houses, let's pray for that. Let's remember that. Let's lean into that. Can you feel the heart of Josiah? It was said of him that he was like his father, David. These are the words that are in the scripture. That he was a God, he was a king rather, that had a whole heart for God. Like, God, I am so so sorry for what we have done as a people. I am so sorry for where the leaders before me have taken this and that I've participated in this. And now he's turning around and saying, can we all just pour our heart out before God and step into a new way of living? An amazing, amazing plan. Josiah went public with that plan. That's the accountability piece. It's not just a plan, but he went public with it. He made it known. And I think a lot of us, we've done that, right? And I'm not just talking about that moment when we got serious about Christ, or maybe even more clear for some of us that weren't living for Christ at one point or didn't know the first thing about living for Christ. And then we were surrounded by people that weren't Christ followers, and suddenly Jesus, we had this God moment where he broke in and like the wheels almost came off as we're traveling down through the world, and like we hit this God bump, and then we say, what is that? And we have some conversation and we reflect on it, and eventually we go, God is inviting me into a relationship with him. That's what he's saying. And we stepped into that relationship, and then like, now what? Now what do I do? Because I was heading this way. Now I'm going to go this way. These are still my friends, but I'm just not going to do and act in the same way. And you go public with that. And it does. It costs you something. Maybe some ridicule. It can cost you in so many different ways. But I wonder how many of us have also done this. How many times we recognize, God's speaking to me. I feel it. I sense it. It was a message. In the middle of a song, something somebody said. It's an experience in life that just sort of rocked you for a moment, enough to get your attention, enough pain to move you from where you were to a place where you're going, what is going on? How many of us have ever been in that place and we walked away from it going, it's going to cost too much for me to actually step into what I sense would be a massive life change? Well, Josiah understood what he was about to do was big. This was no small thing. And yeah, he had this going for him. He was the king of Judah and Jerusalem. He's the king. And so what's going to happen to him? And yet, we recognize, even from a New Testament story, this was going to cost him something. Because all these idols, somebody made them. All these poles that were lifted up, somebody made them. All these shrines, all these people that had given their livelihood to, somebody's making these images of gold and silver. There are silversmiths and goldsmiths that make that. That's where they put food on their table. They're not going to be happy when the economy starts rocking in a different direction and they're left behind. Same thing happened in the New Testament, where we see the Apostle Paul is sharing the good news with people that God loves you, and he came in the person of Jesus, who lived and died on behalf of you. And he invites you into this dynamic relationship with himself, and people were tipping toward Jesus and abandoning their gods of silver and gold. And there was a man named Demetrius that led a riot because he was a silversmith. They were messing with his livelihood. He led a riot that almost cost the Apostle Paul his life. Change is costly. The potential, again, yeah, he had this going for him. He was a king. But no doubt there was a calculated step in this. And it was a courageous one. It was a bold one. I've heard from God. And it was one of deep integrity. I've heard from God, and I'm a man of God, and according to this word from God, I will respond to God. And he called together the elders. Let's recommit, whatever it costs, wherever we're called to go, let's recommit to that. Let's step into that. And as a result, the nation of Israel experienced under his reign a move back toward the heart of God. I want to drag that story into something a little closer for us. This is a really old story, and I don't have any doubt that as you're sitting there, you're making some application in your life already going, man, yeah, I know he's talking about this king, but there's this in my life, or there's this yearning in my life, or this thing that I've been living with for a long time, and I don't know why. I just listen. I know I should do something. I'm not doing something. I just want to bring in, this is an extreme story, and I always, when I bring a story, I always ask for permission, and same with this one. And I actually talked to both of the gentlemen that I'm going to be speaking about here. One is Mac Thompson. Mac's a really good friend of mine. And he made an accidental on purpose, maybe, at least a God thing, phone call a little over a week ago. He picked up the phone and he called a Ryan about a motorcycle. And he actually called the wrong Ryan. How many of us have done that? All of a sudden you're on the phone talking like, is this? You got the wrong guy. Back up the story. So Mac made his way to my office, and part of the story has been told before, but Mac made his way to my office a little over 2 years ago because he said in his own words, Greg, I'm going to die. I'm like, I know, man. It's going to be really, really sad for me. And he said, I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go. I asked him a question, do you trust yourself? And he said, no. And he said, I need other people. So he had this moment like, I'm not going to make it. I know this is really extreme. Here's why. Mac's an alcoholic. And he was drinking so much. He couldn't stop. And he knew that this was not going to end well. And it had been going on for not weeks, not years, decades. And so at that point, he discussed it with me. We had this conversation as he'd been reflecting in the quiet of his own life. Like, this is no way to live. I'm done. I'm just done living this way. In fact, I'm not going to be living if we keep going this direction. And we had a discussion, but I recognized that if we're going to tip from a place where Mac is saying, I sense God has something more for me, and I don't know where to go, we're going to need some help. So I called up Ryan Thornton. Ryan Thornton, he too experienced alcoholism and does. And he had been sober for super long. And so Ryan, I called up Ryan. I said, what do we do? And Ryan came in and met with us. We had a plan. And in that conversation, Ryan was able to say things to Mac I couldn't say. Ryan was able to lean into Mac in ways, and they understood each other in ways I didn't understand. And the result of it was eventually Mac made his way to a treatment program, got sober, and he's been sober for 2 years. And I'm so, so grateful for that. So grateful for what God did. He didn't just step in and talk. He stepped in with the right people into a plan, and he made himself accountable. It took courage. It really did. It took courage to sit down and say, I'm not going to make it. And he was desperate in that place. Well, Mac accidentally called Ryan. I hasn't talked to Ryan for about a year. And then the two of them got on the phone, and Mac was able to say to Ryan, thanks, man. Thanks. I've got a good job. I've got money in the bank. My relationships with my family, my friends, it's been better and better and better. It's been going in the right direction, and I just want to say thanks for the part that you played and standing there with me, helping me be accountable to getting sober. I don't know what it might be for you. I want to back up, though. If you haven't yet started at that first place that Jeremy started us on, go back there. Get in your calendar today. In the morning, I'm going to pray. And then in the evening, I'm going to pay attention to the entire day. Is God speaking to me? Do what Josiah did with all the elders. This day, I'm going to reestablish this covenant between me and God that I am going to be His person. And I'm going to pay attention for moments where God is breaking in. Step into where Lori spoke just last week. When you sense something, reflect on it. And then find some really good friends. She pulled out her phone. And she said, maybe we can schedule in a moment. with somebody that we really trust to talk about these things with. It's really important that we go this with others. I want to encourage you today to pull out your phone again. And where you had that place, if you haven't done that yet, stay with the right steps. Go to step one, step two. But if you've already been there and like I've discussed this with others, it's time to make a plan. Just listen to the Word of God. Do not merely be a person that listens to the Word and does nothing about it. Be a doer of the words. Form a plan. It's going to take some courage because it's going to mean some change. Form a plan. Then go public with it. Tell somebody. Fill into your calendar a place where you're saying, this is the moment. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to make a plan. And I'm going to go public with it so that I can step into this beautiful life that God's inviting me into. Let's pray together. Father, as we think about two really big questions, both the last 2 weeks today and then again next week as I bring the message next week, we just would ask that we would be people that could actually hear really well. We'd be more and more attuned to the move of your Spirit. And that we wouldn't just hear from your Spirit, we'd be people that walk in your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.